Imagine witnessing the murder of someone you love deeply, their final breath, their eyes dimming, their body going limp. Now imagine that trauma literally shattering your soul into fragments. This is precisely what happens to Zoe Redbird when the immortal fallen warrior, Kelowna, kills her human boyfriend, Heath. In an instant, the most powerful fledgling vampire in history, marked uniquely by the goddess Nyx with affinity for all five elements, collapses as her soul fractures. Her physical body remains in a coma, while her consciousness drifts untethered in the other world, a realm between life and death. What makes this soul-shattering so brilliantly conceived is how it mirrors real psychological trauma. Each fragment represents a different aspect of Zoe's identity. Her 9-year-old self embodies innocence and joy. Bridget represents her leadership and strength. Aya manifests her passionate nature. Isn't this how we often respond to overwhelming grief? Some parts retreat into childhood memories, others hold our anger, and still others carry our deepest fears. Through Zoe's journey, we witness the delicate process of healing. Each fragment must be approached, understood, and accepted before wholeness can return. How far would you go to save someone you love? For James Stark, Zoe's sworn warrior and protector, the answer is clear: to the very gates of death itself. To reach Zoe in the Otherworld, a realm reserved for the dead and divine, Stark must transform from warrior to guardian, becoming capable of bridging worlds. His journey takes him to Scotland's Isle of Skye, where warrior Queen Skidge reveals his ancestral Makualas clan connection. Stark's true test comes when he must defeat himself in combat against his own darkness. This battle teaches him that victory isn't about eliminating his darkness, but mastering it. It wasn't about killing the bad within him, it was about controlling it. This internal struggle illustrates how growth often requires confronting our own demons rather than external enemies. Stark's evolution from impulsive warrior to disciplined guardian reminds us that transformation, though painful, creates the strength needed for our most important battles. Beneath the structured vampire world exists something older and more dangerous: the white bull of darkness and black bull of light. Primordial forces predating even the goddess Nyx. These aren't simple manifestations of good and evil, but amoral cosmic powers indifferent to mortal concerns. The bulls deliberately subvert expectations. The darkness bull gleams white, while the light bull appears pure black. This inversion challenges our association of light with good and dark with evil. When Stevie Ray accidentally summons the White Bull while seeking help for Zoe, she discovers the terrible bargains such entities demand, as it slices her with darkness tendrils and drinks her essence for cryptic knowledge. These primal forces remind us that beneath civilization's polite facade lie raw, untamed energies that can't be controlled through modern sensibilities. Their emergence transforms teenage vampire drama into a cosmic struggle that could upset the world's balance, connecting personal battles to something much larger than ourselves.
Can you imagine falling for someone society insists is a monster? The relationship between Stevie Ray, the first red vampire high priestess, and Rafame, a raven mocker, half-man, half-raven son of Kelowna, challenges fundamental assumptions about good and evil. Their blood imprint, formed when Stevie Ray drank Rafame's blood to heal, creates an undeniable connection despite their opposing sides in the conflict. The tension peaks when Rafame interrupts Stevie Ray's intimate moment with Dallas, claiming her as his own. When Dallas attacks Rafame with electricity, Stevie Ray defends the Ravenmocker, declaring, "He belongs to me." This choice of the monster over the seemingly appropriate partner upends conventional romantic tropes. Isn't there something profoundly human about seeing beyond appearances to the struggling soul within? Despite Rafame's monstrous form, Stevie Ray recognizes his capacity for sacrifice when he offers his blood to save her.
Their forbidden connection becomes a powerful metaphor for accepting others' authentic selves rather than their socially assigned roles. Behind the crisis lurks Neferet, former high priestess turned consort of darkness. When Kelowna kills Heath and shatters Zoe's soul, Neferet swiftly adapts this to her advantage. She binds Kelowna's immortal body with threads of darkness only Aphrodite can see, forcing his spirit to pursue Zoe in the other world. To the High Council, Neferet presents herself as a concerned mentor, claiming Kelowna was injured while protecting his goddess and suggesting Zoe attacked him unprovoked. Neferet's strength as a villain comes from twisting truth rather than outright lying. She exploits the Council's ignorance of ancient powers and their preference for civilized solutions to primal threats. Her manipulation through partial truths proves more effective than direct deception. She exemplifies power's corruption without compassion. Once devoted to her students, she now views others merely as tools for her ascension. Her relationship with Kelowna isn't based on love, but mutual exploitation, a dark contrast to the genuine connections forming between other characters.
I'll find you again, even if it takes 100 of those years. These words mark Heath Luck's final goodbye to Zoe in the other world, transforming him from high school quarterback to true hero. After death, Heath becomes Zoe's emotional anchor as her soul fragments, his love providing sanctuary within Nyx's grove, but this comfort becomes a cage, preventing her healing and return. When Stark reaches the other world, he reveals a harsh truth. If Zoe remains with Heath, Neferet and Kelowna will dominate both worlds. Despite loving Zoe, Heath immediately grasps the stakes. He must move to another realm, not just leaving her, but ceasing to exist in this form, for a chance at rebirth. Sometimes the greatest act of love is letting go. Heath's decision to leave Zoe, knowing it will break her heart, but ultimately save her and the world, shows maturity beyond his previous portrayal as the somewhat clueless boyfriend. Their final parting becomes one of the series' most devastating moments, capturing the anguish of eternal separation while acknowledging that some losses forever change us. When trauma shatters us, how do we become whole again? The novel's resolution offers a profound answer through deep connection with others. After Stark revives, he and Zoe form a bond transcending their previous relationship. As he feeds from her, elements surge through them both. Air whispers through their joined spirits, fire ignites their passion, water flows between souls, earth grounds their bond, and spirit weaves their essences together. This exchange represents perfect reciprocity, Stark's sacrifice matched by Zoe's gift of lifeblood. Their souls unite in an explosion of energy that blazes with a brilliance beyond physical passion, creating synergy that transcends individual capability. Authentic relationships don't merely comfort us in brokenness, they actively restore what trauma has stolen. The golden thread that guided Stark transforms into a permanent bracelet with three carved arrows, symbolizing their unbreakable connection across multiple realms. When Nyx whispers, "This isn't the end, it's just the beginning," we're reminded that healing isn't a destination, but an ongoing journey where wounds become meaningful scars, sources of resilience and wisdom.